And I want to welcome you to the podcast for this week. On the podcast this week, we're going to go to Psalm number 3. Psalm number 3, as we continue talking about David on the run from Absalom. But as part of that, we're going to talk about what happened a year ago with Helene. Before we get into the meat of the message today, we talked a little bit last week about how David was reminded of where he had come from. He was reminded by the fact that he was left in the city. He was reminded about the fact that he had stayed behind from the battle. And David wanted to be in the war. He wanted to be there. He wanted to be the one. And I know why he wanted to. He wanted to be able to safeguard Absalom. He did not want any harm to come to that young man. That's the way he had put it to the general. Says, now you be sure to deal gently with that young man, with Absalom. And all the people heard it. All the people heard it. And now David is left behind. And he writes, we think several psalms, but we know of this one, Psalm number 3. And the fact that he was left behind to write that psalm, it's such a blessing. We're going to read it here in just a moment and expound upon it. But being reminded of situations and of times that things happen to you. Now, I've said this several times on the broadcast. I've said this several times. From the outside looking in to any particular Christian life, as an individual, I cannot look into your life and you cannot look into my life and tell me if a particular difficult situation was a trial or was chastisement. That is from the inside only. Only from the point of view of the individual undergoing the situation can, only that individual can know if it is God's chastisement and chastening or if it's a trial. The one event could be a trial for one person and chastening for another. You say, would God do that? Well, God did do that. God did do that. David's situation, the whole deal with Absalom. David was being chastised. But what about everybody else? What about everybody else in the situation? What about Joab? What about Abishai? What about all of the soldiers underneath David? They're suffering because of their leader's problems. Mm-hmm. They are. And I haven't said anything about it yet, but I'm getting ready to. Yes, today is the 1 year anniversary of Helene hitting Western North Carolina, amongst other places. Now, it made a swath of destruction starting in the Florida Panhandle and going up through Georgia, up through the upstate of South Carolina, and then up through Western North Carolina. And it intensified when it hit the Blue Ridge Escarpment, that is the southern rim of the Blue Ridge Mountains here in the Appalachians. The Blue Ridge Escarpment is where the elevation drops about 1,000 feet from the Blue Ridge down into the upstate of South Carolina. And, South Carolina does have a portion of the escarpment, Table Rock State Park, Sassafras Mountain. Those are part of the southern rim of the Blue Ridge. And that southern rim of the Blue Ridge and the shape of the valleys and the direction the storm came from and the side of the eye that Rutherford County, Henderson County, Macon County, or not Macon County, Madison County, Buncombe County, McDowell County, Yancey County. It pains me, folk. I've been avoiding this. I've been avoiding remembering. I have. And it's difficult. It's difficult to remember what happened. And you know, I got off easy compared to a lot of people. I was talking to a person a few weeks back at a meeting that I was in, and she had been without power 32 days. is how long she was out of power, 32 days in Swannanoa. And, I thought 7.5 was bad. Can you imagine 32 days? Well, some of you under the sound of my voice can, because you went through it. You went through it. And it's hard, you know. And I was very blessed in comparison to a lot of people. Even a lot of people in Transylvania County are much worse off than what I am. And I am so thankful. Not that it wasn't traumatic. It was. Like I say, I've been avoiding remembering it. I've been avoiding talking about it. I've not written about it. I've not watched any documentaries. It's knowing what other people went through, it makes it too painful. At the same time, the Lord did use some things during Helene. On that Sunday the 29th, we didn't have church at Macedonia, and we didn't have telephone service, so I couldn't call people. So I went visiting. I went around and visited with folk, and it was then that the Lord really solidified my heart as a pastor. Now, I had been pastor at Macedonia for a little while prior to that. The Lord had already molded my heart into that. But that situation really, really solidified it for me, because my heart was broken for folk, and going around just visiting was just such a blessing, and just having that interconnection, and it really did something for me. Now, here's the deal. Helene would have been chastening and chastisement for some and a trial for others. You say, is it fair that God would put trials on one person because of the chastening of another? I don't think they're interrelated. I think God just uses events that happen to everyone for different purposes. That's the way I believe it. It's, okay, here comes a trial, and maybe the Lord looks and says, okay, I need to chastise this person, and this person, and the trial's getting ready to come this way for these other people. I'll use this trial for these other people, and I'll make it chastisement for these others. Maybe that's the way God does it. I don't know. God knows. Only God knows. But from the outside looking in, you don't know. You can't tell. You can't tell if it's trials or chastisement. And that's where this scripture we're getting ready to read really figures in, because what David says in Psalm 3 can apply to either one. It can. So let's look. Psalm number 3, verse number 1. Psalm 3 and verse 1. Verse 0. You say, what do you mean by that? Verse 0. That's the title. This psalm has a verse 0. It's the title. A psalm of David when he fled from Absalom, his son. Says it very plainly. All right, now verse number 1, Psalm 3, 1. Lord, how are they increased that trouble me? Many are they that rise up against me. Many there be which say of my soul, there is no help for him in God. Selah. I'm going to stop there for just a moment and address that word Selah. The best explanation of Selah I've ever heard was Brother Tommy Hayes out of Pickens, South Carolina, preached at Macedonia back in the mid-90s. Our pastor at the time was Brother Claude Nicholson. He had Brother Hayes up here from Pickens, and Brother Tommy Hayes from Pickens. He had a very unique way about him, and he was preaching out of the Psalms one of the evenings. He said, whenever you come across that word Selah, say to yourself, well, how about that? Now, it's a musical notation. It's a pause, a musical interlude of some sort. But say, well, how about that? And we can all say that. There is no help for him in God. Well, how about that? That's what people say. And they say that whether you're going through a trial or whether you're going through chastisement. In David's case, he was going through chastisement. But his generals, his soldiers, his wives, his concubines. I mean, think about the concubines for a minute, okay? I know this is tough. This is hard to think about. These concubines had to go through the most humiliating thing, that is, having Absalom be with them and then forever be away from David. Their entire life changed, and it wasn't their fault. Wasn't their fault, those 10 concubines. And they underwent something that they should not have ever had to have gone through, and yet they did, because of David. It was David's fault. David was being chastised for it. For them, it was a trial. For them, it was a trial. And your enemies may be increased. There may be seemingly, they're all saying there's no hope for them. There's no help for them. And it might be chastisement, yeah, but it may be a trial. It may be a trial coming your way. But thou, O Lord, art a shield for me, my glory and the lifter up of mine head. I cried unto the Lord with my voice, and he heard me out of his holy hill. Selah. Well, how about that? You know, in David's case, he was being chastised. He said, and even though all of the things I did, he still heard me. If he had been going through a trial, he could say, even though God sent me through a trial, even though he allowed a trial to come my way, he still heard me out of his holy hill, even in the midst of the trial, even in the midst of the chastisement. I laid me down and slept. I awaked, for the Lord sustained me. I will not be afraid of 10,000s of people that have set themselves against me round about. Arise, O Lord, save me, O my God, for thou hast smitten all mine enemies upon the cheekbone. Thou hast broken the teeth of the ungodly. Salvation belongeth unto the Lord. Thy blessing is upon thy people. Selah. Well, how about that? Now, I want to call close attention to that verse number 5. And folk, I have lost sleep over what happened a year ago with Helene. I have. My faith is not as strong as it should be in that regard. But here David writes, I laid me down and slept. I awaked, for the Lord sustained me. There you go. Folk, even in the midst of the greatest trial you ever may go through, and Helene may be the defining trial of your life. I don't know. There's been a few things that's happened to me that were, in their own way, worse to me than Helene was. But there's people that they lost their lives, they lost family members, they lost everything. Their livelihood, their home, their town, everything. Far worse than what I went through. Folk, it may very well be the defining trial of your life. May very well be. But the Lord's there. You say, well, why did he allow it to happen? I can't tell you that. I don't know the answer to that. I don't. I wished I did. But I don't. Why did the Lord allow it to happen? Again, for some people, it was chastisement. For the majority of people, more than likely, it was a trial. It was a trial. And God has a way of making trials blessings. And I know it doesn't look that way when you're in the middle of it. I know. And you know, chastisements can also be blessings. Being chastised of the Lord is what reminds you that he loves you. I mean, he even told the church at Laodicea, or rather the church of the Laodiceans, by the mouth of the angel of the church of the Laodiceans, that is the office of the pastor. He told that angel of that church, he said, those who I love, I chasten. He loves even Laodicea. He loves them. He wants them to return. He wants them to repent. Even as lukewarm as they are, they're given space to repent. It's a fascinating study. Even the worst of the worst in the Laodicean age of the church, as well as the Laodicean church itself and the Laodicean churches that have existed in every age, all three of those, past, present, and future, which was, which is to come, that phrase is repeated throughout the book of Revelation. The Lord still loves them. The Lord still wants them to repent, and he's giving them space to repent because he loves those. He chastens those he loves, and he loves those he chastens. Repent, he says. Repent, turn. Now, again, some of the situations for some people are trials. And my heart goes out to those folk a year ago who lost everything. And, you know, maybe you didn't lose everything, but you lost what you lost. If you didn't lose your home, you lost other things. Everybody in the area lost something, some more than others. You say, why? Well, it rains upon the just and the unjust, you know. And it can be judgment to the lost. But again, how, tell me, can you distinguish it from the outside? How do you know? That person may be lost and they may not be lost. If they're lost, it may be judgment upon them. If they're saved, it may be chastisement. It may be a trial. See, we've got it backwards. We've got it a bit backwards in our Christian lives, and it's easy to get it backwards if we're not careful. I'm reminded of the song, "Why Should God Bless America? She's forgotten he exists. God have mercy upon America." And then I remember, you know, there's a book out there that says, "Why do bad things happen to good people? Why do bad things happen to good people?" Written by a Jewish rabbi, if I remember correctly. That book has it from the wrong point of view altogether. There are no good people. There are no good people. People, the flesh, is past saving. It's rotten to the core. It's wicked to the bone. It's like a canker sore that will not heal, which is a cancer. The flesh is a cancer. And when the flesh is overgrown, it will take over your whole life. Child of God, the flesh has no good in it. None doeth good, no, not one. Paul says, "Who shall save me from the body of this death?" Then he says, "I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord." See, the inward man is the one who will overcome. The inward man is the one because the inward man, the soul of man, is saved by the good grace of God. And that inward man is born again and is renewed and is different, a new creature. It can do good, but the flesh cannot. And none of us deserve blessings. That's part of what makes them blessings. We don't deserve good things to happen to us because we're still in the flesh. We're still cascaded upon by sin. We're still in a wicked, 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 wicked world. And disasters like Helene or Katrina or any number of other things that have happened to people, COVID, whatever it might be, whatever the disaster might be, we have to say, "Lord, I deserve worse. I deserve hell. But thanks be to God that he gives the blessing. Thanks be to God," as David said, "salvation is of the Lord." Let's read that last verse again. That last verse tells the tale. It really does. About what David thinks about the whole situation. In that last verse, he says, once again, "Salvation belongeth unto the Lord. Thy blessing is upon thy people, Selah." Well, how about that? Well, how about that? The Lord gives blessings to people who do not deserve blessings. We tend to take blessings for granted. What does that mean, taking something for granted? It means it's going to be granted to you regardless. And you just kind of, you're not as grateful for it as you should be, you know. Kids today take it for granted that they've got a internet, for instance. That's another thing that went out and was not operational. I saw a statistic one place that said somewhere close to 90% of the cell sites were out across western North Carolina during Helene. And it took several days to get them back online. It did. It took several days. The power situation was catastrophic. The damage was catastrophic, and damage is still being repaired. On the road I live on, well, road next to the road I live on, they're just now repairing one of the slides that happened from Helene. It's a very complex repair, takes very specialized equipment. The articulating boom drill that they've got on this project is one of the most massive pieces of equipment I've ever seen, but it's required because they have to have this big old thing. It looks like a big track hoe, but instead of a bucket on the end, it's got this massive hydraulic drill. And I saw it in action one day driving past, and it was reaching way down underneath the road with that big old hydraulic drill drilling back underneath the road to anchor into bedrock so that they could build this retaining wall. An absolutely massive undertaking. I'm told it cost millions to repair that one slide. And just now it's not done yet. It's been a year. There's other things that'll be over a year. There's things that'll be a decade. I think of, down from Girton through Back Cave, through Chimney Rock, through Lake Lure. It breaks my heart that people are having to go through those things and that the Lord allowed it. The Lord allowed it. And again, for some it's a trial. For some it's chastisement. For some it's judgment. And I cannot determine which it is looking on your life from the outside in. It is beyond my comprehension to know what it was for you. Likewise, it's beyond your comprehension to know what it was for me. I do know this. It's not the same. It's not the same. When the Lord pulls the blessings and lets a world-class disaster come through and wreak havoc in a place that is used to getting the blessings of God instead, it makes us awful confused, doesn't it? It did me. I'm not over it. I don't think I ever will be over it. And I know other people, again, it is a life-changing disaster. Life-changing. And my heart goes out to folk. No matter what it was for you. If it's God chastising you, well, learn from it. And if it was a trial, which I believe that was the majority, I believe the majority was trials, to Christian folk at least. God will make the trial a blessing. It may take a while. And it's a very hard thing. It's a very difficult thing. And it will test your faith. It has mine. It will test your faith of, well, if the Lord allowed that, then how can I have faith in Him? We had it really good before Helene. And Helene absolutely turned our faith upside down. Your faith is either stronger since Helene or it is weaker since Helene. Most of the time, and a lot of people, their belief has been shattered. Their faith has been completely shattered. If God could allow this to happen, then what could God allow? And that's hard. It's hard to deal with when your faith is tested. But in the book of 1 Peter, we're told, don't think it's strange when fiery trials come your way. There's going to be trials. There's going to be chastisement, and it's painful. It is. My prayers go out to each and every one affected by Helene today. And I want to thank you for listening to the podcast for this week. I Want to Know More is a podcast ministry of Brother Lamar Owen. I'm out of the Macedonia Baptist Church located at the Silverstein community of Transylvania County. To correspond with me, please email broadcast@lamarowen.net. Again, that's broadcast@lamarowen.net. And join us again here next week for I Want to Know More.